Hello, my beautiful beanies, and welcome to The Bean for Wednesday. First with yesterday's news, I am Glenn ZB. We're looking back at Tuesday. Drastic changes proposed to recreational fishing. Licenses, sizes, all sorts of things. We'll get into this shortly. Stopping people killing kauri trees. Acupuncture, is it a thing? And something that says James Cameron on meat and dairy. I don't think it's an interview with him. That'd be cool. But first up, the gender equality and pay, all that sort of stuff, especially in leaders, industry leaders, senior positions. Apparently, we could do better. What does Leighton think?
You are committed. You are commanded as a business. You're requested to do a study and come up with something, you know, as a result of it. So you're going to come up with the result that's wanted as best you can. You're going to produce the best result you can for the people who are paying you. And I would suggest that this $900 million a year economic boost that we're missing out on because there aren't enough women in management roles is fake. I just don't believe it. And if you need explanation on why I don't believe it, I believe it's people who are suitable for jobs, whether they're whatever gender. And if you've got a woman who's going to be good in this particular job and she's the best applicant for it, then put her on. If you've got a woman who's second or third down the list and you're putting her in there, although there are a couple of better or even one better applicant for it, then quite frankly, you shouldn't be in the job of selecting. You're playing social games and you're trying to manufacture a society that doesn't necessarily want you manufacturing it.
Yeah, I mean, it's happened to Leighton. He's being replaced by a woman in 2019. So, you know, nobody's immune. Now, fishing. Apparently, there have been a lot of recommendations for a big shake-up of the recreational fishing situation. This sparked a lot of calls to Kerry and Mark yesterday afternoon.
Absolutely agree with this, but I think it hasn't gone far enough. Look, I have to admit that I'm part of the New Zealand Outdoor Party. Now, what our policies were to ban nets and dredging and trawling in the 12-mile limit and have a different sort of a setup, whereas a recreational fishing has similar to, not forest and birds, but you know, the Fish and Game Council, and have a setup like that where we can monitor and basically enforce the legislation. So look, I'm a fisherman. I've been fishing with my father when I was a baby. Been fishing. I'm a diver. I get my kaimawaina out of the sea. I don't mind paying a license to help preserve the stocks for future generations.
Nice to hear. Thank you, Will. Hi, Dean.
Yeah, g'day.
G'day.
Hello.
Yeah, I was a commercial fisherman in the 80s here in the Gulf and up north.
Yeah.
And, yeah, I reckon it's the trawlers. I mean, it's pretty what happened in the Northern Sea, like you say. So what killed that was probably the trawlers and it's the nets, and it's like, why are the fish there? It's the habitat. So when you drag your nets across the bottom, it just, the fish won't go back there either. Well, there's nothing to eat. They kill a lot, you know?
It's such a wasteful way to harvest.
If I'm going to be perfectly honest with you, this whole discussion has really just made me fixate on a lovely fish dish I had the other night at our local cheap and cheerful Thai restaurant. They take a whole snapper and then they sort of scoop all the fishy bits out and then they do a crispy, sort of a crispy batter on them and they put it all back onto the whole fish with a whole lot of other vegetables and there's oh man, my mouth is just watering. Why does this podcast always make me so hungry? Let's talk kauri dieback in the meantime.
French, Argentinian, English, American, Dutch, you name it. The Waitakere's is where they want to go. Now, quite how you ring fence 16,000 hectares with do not enter signs, well, I just don't think that's feasible. There are areas where there are no kauri. They tend to grow in concentrated pods. If anything, the council could cordon off those areas and keep the rest of the park open. But even so, again, how are you going to police that? But while dieback is front of mind at the moment, there are other conservation issues that are causing great concern as well. Look at myrtle rust. And what plants are in the myrtle family? Our majestic pahutukawa, our rata and our manuka as well. Now think about our commercial manuka honey industry for a moment. What if myrtle rust takes hold? It's already been confirmed in 134 sites. So what are we doing? Are we taking these issues seriously? We've known about dieback for some years and we've done little to combat it. A bit of research, but no outcome, no cure. Have we responded with urgency to the emergence of these diseases? Have we done everything we can to protect some of our most famous species? I think the answer to that is pretty obvious. The horse is bolted in the Waitakes and at great cost. Closing the park when there's still no cure for dieback will, I think, achieve nothing. But it should serve as a catalyst to all of us that conservation must be a priority in New Zealand. And if we fail to acknowledge that, it will come at great peril to our country and our economy.
Yeah, it's tricky, isn't it? Because maybe some of the reasons people are going to the Waitakereas is to see the kauri trees, but if they go, they'll kill the kauri trees. It's tricky. I just didn't realise that people were coming from all over the world to wander around the Waitakereas. I thought they were all coming to see hobbits and go skiing. But there you go. Shows you how much I know. Now, it turns out that acupuncture might not actually be a thing. And we've been wasting our time having needles stuck in us all this time.
What claims did you find acupuncturists actually making here that were false?
So the study found 101 New Zealand acupuncture websites that were likely breaching the Section 58(1)(a) of the Medicines Act. The most frequent claims were mental illness, infertility and arthritis. But we also found 11% of the websites claimed acupuncture could treat or prevent cancer, 23% diabetes, 9% baldness, 12% tumours, 14% heart disease, and so on. And we found that most of these acupuncturists linked to these websites were registered with the acupuncture professional body and therefore accepted ACC payment.
All right, well, I'm interested that it cures baldness. I'll have to look into that one. Anyway, no, I digress. Look, so why do these all breach the Medicines Act? What's going on here?
So the section of the Medicines Act covers cure, treating and prevention of some these serious claims. And so these websites were, they had list these claims on their websites.
Right. It's illegal then, is it, to claim you can... Okay, it's illegal.
Yeah, weird, isn't it? Because, I mean, we all know people who've had acupuncture for various things. My brother broke his neck. And he had acupuncture, and now it doesn't seem to be as broken as it was. So, did it just psychosomatically fix his neck? It's confusing business, isn't it, modern medicine? We're going to finish up talking... I've just got a cut. Says James Cameron on meat and dairy. I don't know what this means. Let's see if we can find out.
I've just got an opinion for you. It's probably a slightly unpopular one. But I would tend
we
to
love,
agree with
Eloise,
that.
I love unpopular opinions.
Yeah, that's what this channel's for, right?
Yeah, exactly.
So yeah, I would tend to agree with him. I think that it's good that this sort of thing is becoming a little bit more like out there and more people are discussing it. I've actually only recently started to look into it. I'm actually a student at Massey University.
Mm-hmm. What are you
and
studying?
There's a lot of, I'm actually only studying speech therapy, but a lot of the people on campus are into agriculture and that sort of thing.
Sure. Yeah,
and there is a lot of talk around how maybe plant-based diets are sort of the way of the future.
Mm-hmm.
And even the UN has released a report recently saying that it's likely that agriculture and dairy are like the single leading cause of climate change, which is fairly shocking considering... You know, we love our dairy and our meat.
Okay, so I'm gonna throw at you a quote by the vice president of Federated Farmers, national vice president, who says we're able to produce food at some of the lowest carbon footprints in the world. So the way that we produce it is actually for the product, it's pretty efficient. Does that change your view?
I'm definitely like hoping to have my view changed because I'm not really wanting to adopt veganism.
Why is that?
You know, everyone loves a good steak. So.
It doesn't taste nice, right, Eloise?
It's all just what you get used to, isn't it? I mean, most people, when they're kids, they don't like olives or anchovies, and then many of those people end up liking them. It's probably the same with vegan steaks. I'm not sure why James Cameron gets to have a say about it, though. Didn't quite get to the bottom of that. Don't get me wrong, I love Avatar. Were they vegans? I think they were. Anyway, yeah, that wasn't really a sort of a green attitude towards things. It was more of a blue attitude, I think. I love olives, anchovies. Again, hungry. It's twice I've been hungry in this podcast now. It's only 11 minutes long. I am Glenn ZB. I should have stopped it at 10 and then maybe I wouldn't be so hungry now. That has been News Talk ZB. I'll see you back here again tomorrow for more. So hungry.